Good morning, and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the celebration of the Eucharist on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Music for today's liturgy can be found online at www.stpatrickscathedral.org/live or in the blue St. Michael hymnal, which can be found in your pew. Our celebrant today is Father Enrique Salvo, rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Please now rise and join in singing our entrance hymn, which can be found in your hymnal, on page 601, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, page 601.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Welcome everyone to St. Patrick's Cathedral on this 4th of July weekend, and to so many people in so many places around the world that are also joining us in this Holy Mass. Let us begin by recalling our sins and ask our Lord to grant us His peace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exult, exult with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord.
Are your deeds. Let all the gods all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town. The 72 returned rejoicing and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. In this moment in which Jesus wanted to give this not only opportunity, but also to train them, his disciples, to go out as they would eventually would to begin the church in all the corners of all the surrounding villages and countrysides and cities to proclaim the gospel, it was something very important for them. It was the first time that they went out like this in the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus anointed them to do this, and he gave them the power to do this. And so they saw miracles, they saw healings, they saw people being liberated from the evil one, they saw people accepting the message of the good news of the gospel. They found people that were interested in learning more about Jesus and excited that soon enough he was going to come into their town. So, of course, all this was a lot to be grateful for and to rejoice in, and they're excited, and they're seeing how this ministry of following Jesus Christ is beginning to work in many active ways, and they come back rejoicing, which is great. They had a lot to rejoice about. But Jesus, at that moment, he doesn't tell them, don't rejoice about that, but he takes that opportunity to remind them something that's even more important when he says, it's fine that you rejoice. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Basically, Jesus is telling them at that moment that this is great, and this is because of God's love and power. But in the end, never lose sight that all of this is temporary, including the victories in my name, because they will also have a lot of persecution. But never lose sight and never lose focus on what is the most important thing of all: heaven, our Heavenly Father, and that our names are written there as his sons and daughters. That is the focus of all things. So, if he's telling this to the disciples when they go through this successful moment of the ministry of bringing the kingdom of God, what must he tell us when we don't even rejoice about good things, but instead we just complain as we go about our daily lives and look at everything that's problematic and forget that heaven even exists. It's definitely not the way he's inviting us to live. If even rejoicing for the good things is not enough, he always wants us to bring to heaven. How much more when we ask, like the Israelites in the desert with Moses, that complained about everything, and often enough, God got very upset at that, when in the end, he was liberating them. And that so many times happens to us. So we have to think about that in our spiritual life, but not just at the moment of our prayer, but as we live our daily lives, every moment in whatever circumstance we're in, whether we are at work, at home with our family, with our friends, whether we're going through any trials, whether we're going through any victories, we have to always remember these words, to remember more than all that our names are written in heaven. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis that I sometimes quote often enough, because it's basically this. It's C.S. Lewis, inspired by the gospel. He says, when you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. But when you aim at earth, you get neither. And let's think about that, because this is what Jesus is telling us right now. Because when we aim at heaven, where heaven is the priority of our life, where God is the center of our lives, where we basically live out the first commandments as it should be, where God is God and there are no other gods beside him, gods with little g's that we make into gods, when we remember that it all comes from him, beginning with our very existence and life and time here on earth, all comes from him, then everything becomes ordered in its place. When we put all of our hope and trust and when we only focus on the victories of this world, but with the inevitable problems of this world, and when that our focus is to just look at the things of the earth as if we're going to be here forever, and especially worse so if we're obsessed with our past or obsessed with worries about the future on this earth, then at that moment, neither do we have heaven, in the sense that we forget that we are sons and daughters of God, where our names are written in heaven. And then earth becomes a place of anxiety and sadness and depression, and a place in which we are not grateful for what we have, and we become whiny to God, and we become spoiled brats to God, and we see even our first world problems, as they call it, become things that drown us, because we basically are not bringing God into the picture. Therefore, of course, then God is inviting us to do that, and he is giving us so much to help us to focus on heaven. He illuminates us with the Holy Spirit in our minds and in our hearts, so that we can see things in the way that he wants us to see things. Of course, he gives us the sacraments of the church, speaking of heaven and earth in every Holy Mass at the moment of the consecration. It is a union between heaven and earth. In a few minutes, we are going to have heaven united with us here on earth around the Eucharist. And then we're going to receive the Eucharist, who Jesus Christ in the Eucharist is going to divinize our souls, so that we may remember that we are sons and daughters with our names written in heaven, and may live our lives that way. He constantly reminds us through all of his teachings in the gospel. We're constantly reminded when we live out our faith and our traditions of our faith, how we can order everything through prayer, through basically putting heaven first. But we have to do our part as well. We must want that. We must want to receive these graces. We must want to always look up to heaven, when it's actually easier and more default in our human nature weaknesses to look at the things of the earth. But we must make, we have to cooperate and be someone that actually actively wants this, because Jesus definitely wants to give us this, to look at heaven, and we have to cooperate actively. And there's one very important way that we do it, with the premise of it all, which is receiving the sacraments and having a prayer life and trying to do God's will in all things. But a very important way for us to achieve this is through gratitude to God about all things. And that changes everything. There's some parishioners that like it when I recommend books that I've read. And one book I always recommend, it was written like 10 years ago by the author. Her name is Anne Voskamp. And it's called 1,000 Gifts. So in this book, it's about gratitude, but it's like an autobiography in a way. So the author writes about all of the struggles that she went through throughout her life, some family tragedies she endured as a little girl, and just the problems of daily life, and how, of course, it's normal when we have the difficulties of our lives and we don't have yet so much of a strong relationship with God that we can go into a bit of despair, or at least living in a chronic state of anxiety or just emptiness when we basically just focus on the problems of life. Of course, that's going to catch up to us. So she was inspired to start thanking God actively. And what she recommends in this book, which I've done it a few times myself, is to write down in a journal 1,000 gifts that you are grateful for. And so what happens is, it's not like you sit down on your desk and just like, I'm going to name my favorite things, like, and just think. This takes like 6 months to do, because what happens is that you're constantly seeing blessings and graces wherever you go. And then what happens is that since we're thanking God about that, and for example, some examples she gives is things that we take for granted, like the smell of bread out of the oven, and a beautiful embrace with a child, or a beautiful moment of inspiration that someone that is suffering gave us by their own perseverance, and so many interactions that we go through in our lives. And for everything we write down, from the things around us to the interactions that we have, we thank God for them. And so what starts happening to us, and then we don't only have to do this through a journal, because it should be a daily, nightly habit that each and every day we should thank God for at least 3 very unique things that happened that day. Every single day we have very unique blessings. And of course, we might have our default gratitudes, which are always going to be there when we're thanking God for our life, for Him, for our family, for our health, all that. But we're talking about very unique things that happen throughout the day. We start seeing that God is gifting us with so many blessings everywhere. And we, more importantly than that, we begin to see that God is behind everything. So now what happens is, we are walking through our life on earth because we're not in heaven yet. So focusing on heaven does not mean that we are going to only, of course, when we pray and everything, we come as close as we can to heaven when we receive the Eucharist. But in the end, we are living on earth and have to be practical here on earth and have to live our lives here on earth. We're not aiming at heaven does not mean sitting down for the rest of our life daydreaming about heaven. Aiming at heaven is seeing God's action, seeing heaven present here on earth.
So when we are grateful, we start seeing God loves me so much. He's with me. Look at what God did to me here. Look how God allowed this. Look at this problem, this tragedy God allowed in my life or in the life of others. But look how many people came up and heroically I loved. Like when we see tragedies, like we're praying for right now for the floods in Texas. And yet it's such a tragedy that we're praying for. But we also have to acknowledge all of the good people that are there. They're risking their own lives to try to help others. We start seeing how in the end people are trying their best. We start seeing the best side of people and not just like their wounded side, but we see how they are loved by God and how they're our brothers and sisters. We start also opening our eyes to the beauty of creation. And the beauty of that God allows in the music that we hear and the taste that we taste and in the beauty of the churches and everything starts to open up in such a way that thanking God first, everything becomes ordered in such a way that we begin to live our lives in ways that are more according to God's will. And our lives become more joyful, more peaceful. They become colored by the love of God. And that is how he wants us to live. And that is what it means when we aim at heaven, we get earth thrown in. Because when we thank God for everything and put him first, then we start really appreciating our lives. Even in the difficult moments, we know that he's there with us. When we forget God is, we're just going to see what's wrong with this picture, who I'm angry at, what I'm nervous about, what I'm regretting, what I'm worried about the future, what this person told me 10 years ago and I'm not going to forgive, what is wrong with all of the messes in the world. And that, of course, we're neither going to get the joy and the peace of heaven, and then our life on earth is not going to be with the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit that God wants us all to have as his children here on earth. And this is something that is not just an ideal, it's actually something for us to remember. Because many people in situations throughout history, and even like in the third world, for example, that do have very difficult lives, but are faithful and filled with gratitude, even in the small things, they have a joy and a peace that sometimes we don't have, even if we have so much to be grateful about, because we do not put God first. And so our time on earth also becomes colored by that anxiety and that emptiness. So let us take on these words where Jesus says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice about the spirits subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Let us now start living our lives here on earth, remembering that our names are written in heaven because we were created to live as sons and daughters by a loving Father that pours out his blessings each and every day on us. And we are to live according to that so that he may be the center of everything in our lives and everything else will follow. God bless you.
And now let us ask our Heavenly Father to help us with all of our needs. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we present our petitions to our Heavenly Father.
For Pope Leo XIV, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For God's blessing on our nation as we observe Independence Day, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those experiencing sickness, poverty, hardship, or exile, that they may perceive the goodness of God through the assistance that Christians extend to them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, especially the victims of the recent floods in Texas, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we also pray for the efforts of all the first responders in the floods in Texas, that they may find anyone that is missing and may give a lot of consolation and fortitude to the families that are suffering at this moment. Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for sending us Jesus to remind us that our destiny is heaven and that we should always order our life according to that. Help us to always give us spirits of prayer and gratitude so that we may see your love in all things as we walk about this life. We ask you to help us with this and with all of our needs, which we present to you each day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our offertory hymn can be found in your hymnal on page 524, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Oh.
pray, brothers and sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. May this oblation, dedicated to your name, purify us, O Lord, and day by day bring our conduct closer to the life of heaven, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder, to rule in your name over all you have made, and forever praise you in your mighty words, through Christ our Lord. And so, with all the angels, we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and with all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God,
I'll pass you the chalice
you
for
take
me,
away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should bring under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, which could be found on page 672 in your hymnal, O Lord, I Am Not Worthy.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that having been replenished by such great gifts, we may gain the prize of salvation and never cease to praise you through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Mass has ended. Let us go in peace. And have a blessed Sunday, everyone.
Our recessional hymn can be found in your hymnal on page 537, God of Grace and God of Glory. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power, crown thine ancient churches sorry, bring rebel to glorious flower, grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the house of evil around us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways from the fears that praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of this age, for the living of these days. Cure thy children's warring madness, bend our pride to thy control, shame our wanton selfishness.